Scripture reading this morning is from the 27th chapter of book of Genesis, first book in the Bible. It's a story that is between 3,500 years old and 4,000 years old. And let me begin by saying that the story is a little strange. And the story is also a bit disturbing in some ways, as we will hear. The story has to do with Jacob. And Jacob, remembering back from last week when we were talking about Joseph and the coat of many colors, Jacob is Joseph's father. Jacob's father was Isaac. Isaac's father was Abraham. So Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. And the disturbing thing here is that Jacob, part of the story is about Jacob, who is swindling and lying and deceiving his father Isaac. That's not the good part. The good part is not about Jacob, really, but about his father Isaac, who gives Jacob his blessing. And it's from Isaac's blessing to Jacob that we glean some truly wonderful, valuable lessons about parenting and about relationships and about how to be more loving. So we will be listening to the story of Isaac's blessing, where a little bit about background to begin with, and that is Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, they had twin sons, and the sons were Esau and Jacob. And the two sons were not anything alike. And Esau was an outdoorsman. He loved hunting and fishing, as we will hear. He also had hairy arms and hands, which don't necessarily go along with hunting and fishing, but in this case. Jacob, on the other hand, was more of a homebody, and he spent a lot of time with his mother. And in the 27th chapter of Genesis, it's their father Isaac who is at a certain point in his life, and he's grown old, he's become blind, it sounds like he is kind of nearing death, and he decided that it was time for him to give his blessing to his oldest son, and this is how it went. In verses 2 through 4, Isaac tells his son Esau, he says, "I am now an old man, and do not know the day of my death. So get your weapons, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me and prepare me the kind of tasty food that I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." So Esau goes, but while he's gone, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, mother of both children, she seizes the opportunity to secure Isaac's blessing for her other son, Jacob, who was her favorite so bad. Right? So she quickly prepares some food and tells Jacob to put on Esau's best clothes. And then to help fool blind old Isaac, she puts goat skin on Jacob's hands and arms to make him feel hairy like Esau's. And then she sends Jacob in with the food to ask for his father's blessing. And then Jacob, in verse 19, says to his father, he says, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." And Isaac was rightfully suspicious. And so Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" Jacob replied, "The Lord your God gave me success." And then in verse 21, Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "Well, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So Isaac blessed him. And the blessing is found in verses 27 through 29. And it says, "So Jacob went to Isaac and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him. and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." And after he received the blessing from his father, Jacob left. And this is the end of our scripture reading. And we are left asking God for God's blessing so that we may understand the scripture. Amen. So Isaac's blessing. It was great watching your faces, by the way. It really was. But for as strange as it was, the part about Jacob and his mother, as I mentioned, we're not going to be focusing on that, but on Isaac's blessing, because in that blessing there are really four wonderful elements that can help family, that can help friends flourish. And the first thing that we're going to start off with right off the bat is just the simple fact, which is the fact that Isaac gave a formal blessing to his son in the first place. And I think that that's fantastic, because we don't really give formal blessings anymore these days, do we? Parents to their children, right? And just out of curiosity, let me ask you, has anyone here ever received a formal blessing from either your mother or your father, other than, you know, "May I have your blessing to marry someone"? Has anybody, anybody ever received a blessing like that from a parent? Oh, well, you know, that's not fair. See, my daughter's raising her hand in the balcony. You know, sometimes, Aaliyah, you really know. Oh, my. All right, here's part two of the question. Has anybody here ever given a formal blessing to, let's say, anyone in your family other than, you know, "Yes, you may have my daughter's hand in marriage"? Wonderful, right? Let me ask you, how does it feel?
Great.
Right?
Yeah.
Feels great.
Great.
Feels great. Feels great to give a blessing. It feels great to receive a blessing, but we almost never either give nor receive blessings. And that is really strange, because it doesn't cost us anything, does it? Except maybe a little bit of courage, right? And that's the thing. So anyone who has ever, you know, who would ever say, you know, "Well, I never received a blessing from my mother or my father," and you know what, it really doesn't make that much difference, they're either out of touch or not telling the truth, or they just don't want to admit it, that they would really like to receive a blessing. Because we do care. We do care as human beings. Of course we would love to have that. We yearn for things like that. We hunger for things like that. To be blessed, to receive a blessing by your parents, right? And that, by the way, it's different than being affirmed, you know, for doing a good job. That also is important. But a blessing is different than affirmation or praise. Why? Because a blessing carries different power. It's like the difference between saying to somebody, you know, "I'm sorry." That's one thing. Difference between that and saying, you know, really rolling out a whole thoughtful apology. "I'm so sorry, this is what happened, da 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 da." And then saying, "Will you forgive me?" There's different power in that. So rarely do we give blessings, although we would all love to have them. And hopefully, as of today, that's going to change with every one of us. Because we have a valuable gift that empowers, that lifts people up, and it's a gift from God for us to give, so don't hold back. Why would you ever hold back such a gift from someone you love? Now, just talking about my own life for just a moment, and that is, you know, the closest thing when I was growing up that I ever received to a blessing, there were two times growing up with my dad. And one was when I told him when I was about 24 years old, I told him I was going into the ministry. And first he said, "Well, I hope you finish." Wasn't exactly a blessing. But you know, when I was telling him though, it was kind of matter of fact on my part. And I was, you know, kind of too cool and being too much of an adult to act like I really cared. But you know what? At that moment, that important life moment, I would have loved to have him say, "You know what? I give you my blessing. God bless you." But he didn't quite get there. He did years later when he told me he was proud of me. But there are moments in our lives where we have this opportunity. The second time that was very close, that was an almost, it was 3 years ago. And Laura and I were getting ready. We were still in our planning stages for a cross-country bicycle trip. And it was a pretty big life moment. And there was all sorts of people saying, some people were saying, "No, don't do it, it's stupid." And some people saying, "Oh, that's really cool, fine." You know, and I was telling my dad about this. And once again, it was a big life moment. And at 58 years old, I was hoping. I found myself hoping, yearning. And I didn't need it, but it sure would be great to have it. And so I told him, and he said, "You know, Paul, not that you're asking for my blessing," he said this. He goes, "But I think you should go for it." And that gave me power. If you love someone, child, parent, spouse, friend, anyone who is involved in a life moment, be courageous enough to screw something up with inside of yourself and give that person a blessing. Don't be stingy. And hopefully, you'll not just give one, but you'll give many. God bless you on your graduation. God bless you on your new job. I give you my blessing with your new life change, marriage, becoming a father or mother, your new home, becoming sober. I know that took a lot. I just want to give you my blessing. Maybe I just want to give you my blessing because I love you so much and I wanted you to know. You will have changed a life. Don't be afraid of that power. And that's the first thing. Second ingredient we find is meaningful touch from this blessing. We see this in verse 22. When Jacob went close to his father Isaac, Isaac touched him. And then in verse 26 it says, "Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come here, my son, and kiss me.'" Now the wonderful thing is, this is not an isolated incident in Scripture, because almost every time a blessing is given in Hebrew culture, it involves some kind of touch. And the sacred act of laying on of hands and embrace. because these things convey a certain power and acceptance and love. Jesus was Jewish. He knew that. 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it says that people brought children to him so that he could touch them. And he took them on his knee and he laid his hands upon them, and as the scriptures say, and he blessed them. He knew exactly what the children need to be loved and accepted. And it's important for us to remember in our homes. And you know what? You're never too old to start. Jacob was 40 years old when Isaac touched him and kissed him to convey his blessing. And even though Jacob was a little bit of a scoundrel, his father was doing the right thing. I went through kind of a long period after I was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, 12 years old, where my father and we did what a lot of fathers and sons do, and we kind of stopped the hugging and kissing because, you know, faces start getting scratchy, and it feels a little weird to be hugging and kissing, you know, your big son. I'm not big, but, you know, in comparison to my father, I was a little, you know. But so we went through this period, and it was, you know, shaking hands. And it was a certain point when I was in seminary, I was about 27 years old, and we hadn't been hugging and kissing for a long time. And I decided at some point, you know, the heck with it. I'm giving him hugs, and I'm giving him kisses, and I don't care if it feels uncomfortable for him, because I know that I'm not going to have forever to do this. Now that he died a couple weeks ago, I am so glad that I did that. Forget that shaking hands business. And so what I did was I decided that this day is that, you know, I'm just going to give him a hug and give him a kiss, and I did. And you know what he did? He recoiled. He did. Like, a little bit like that. And I decided again. I said, I don't care. The heck with it. I'm going to do it again. And I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again. And after about a year, it became kind of normal. Yeah. I was kind of the wacky, you know, feelings guy who was in seminary, and that's what I did. Your kids are never too old or never too young, and your parents are never too old and never too young. Hugging, touch, a kiss is a gift. Don't we withhold that gift from God either. Third thing, spoken message of love and affection. We listen as Isaac blesses his son, and it's the last part of verse 27, and he says this, what a great kind of a words of a blessing, which shows you that sometimes you have to dig a little deep to come up with something that's meaningful to the person. Because it's not really what you love, it's what the person loves. Where Isaac says to his son, he goes, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. That's digging. You may not think that that's saying much, right? But when he says that, what does Esau love? Esau loves the outdoors. He loves hunting. He loves fishing. And you know, there's a certain smell that goes with that. I think about hockey moms and hockey dads, right? That's a smell. So Esau doesn't say to his son, he doesn't say, oh my God, you know, get out, why don't you take a shower and come back, and then, you know, I've got some words to share with you. He takes him as he is, he takes him where he is, and he validates what he loves. And that is so important. Your son or your daughter, do they love math club? Great. Do you love it? Doesn't matter. Love that. Bless that. They love small engine repair, you know, and you're an actuary? Love that. Bless. Come closer. Let me smell what you love. And that's the way to love. Finally, the final element that we learn is the giving of our time, which is a beautiful blessing. And with that, Why don't we just all join together with this poem that is in your bulletins? If you happen to give away, give it away by filling out the opportunities on the other side. Grab a neighbor. And let's just join with this as we think about the gift of time. This is something that Laura and I hung on our refrigerator every day when our kids were young growing up so that we would not forget, because time passes too quickly. It's called "To My Grown-Up Son," and obviously this can be to a daughter as well. Let's join together. My hands were busy throughout the day. I didn't have much time to play the little games you asked me to. I didn't have much time for you. I'd bring home the check and do what it took, but when you'd bring me your picture book and ask me please to share your fun, I'd say, "A little later, son." I'd tuck you in all safe at night and hear your prayers, turn out the light, then tiptoe softly to the door. I wish I'd stayed a minute more. For life is short and years rush past. A little boy grows up so fast. No longer is he at your side, his precious secrets to confide. The picture books are put away. There are no children's games to play. No goodnight kiss, no prayers to hear. That all belongs to yesteryear. My hands once busy now lie still. The days are long and hard to fill. I wish I might go back and do the little things you asked me to. It's a bit of a killer, but it's a good one. As we've learned from some of the recent events in our community, life is sacred. Life is sometimes fragile. It's always good. And it's never too late. May we take this opportunity now, today, with our sons, with our daughters, with parents, with friends, with spouses, to give our blessings, to not have people guess or have to presume our love, but may we give our blessings with our touch, with our presence, with our words, carefully chosen, and with our time. Happy Father's Day. Happy Lord's Day. Amen.
Most loving God, when you created life, you created it with beauty and joy and love. And you created us to be aware of those things and to take moments out of our days to enjoy all that you created for us. And so we take this moment, God, to thank you for the special moments in our lives. The special moments when we hear the laughter of a child, or receive a smile from a spouse or friend or a stranger, or when we are wrapped in the hug of a parent. Because in these moments and all others, we know you are with us as our hearts become open to your love. So in this moment, we come humbly before you, thankful for all that we are, and for all that we have. And in this moment, God, we open our minds, letting you into our deepest thoughts and letting your shining light of forgiveness into the deepest recesses of our minds. And today, God, we give you thanks for the moments we have shared with our fathers. And we ask for your blessings for them all. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. We also remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers die early or are absent, grandfathers and uncles, brothers and cousins, and the women of our family who keep them going. And so, God, on this day, we ask special prayers for those who are fathers. We ask for wisdom and humility in the face as they face the task of parenting. And we also ask for forgiveness where it is needed. We know, God, as a father protects his child, so you take care of each one of us. And you are always here for us whenever we reach out to you. And we apologize, God, that some days we move along through life without worry, confident in our own skills, happy with the results that we achieve. And we forget to end our day with thoughts of gratitude for you. But not today, God. Today we take this moment to be with you, to thank you for all the moments, big and small, that we feel your love through the love of others. And through your love, we become more loving. So help us go into the world and spread your love in all the ways and in all the moments we can. And all this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.